today. I'm going to take a rather clinical look at the crucifixion today, okay? More clinical. Next week, we're going to talk about the sequence of events when Jesus was on the cross. We're going to look at the two potential locations, okay? And then I'm going to talk about the other two, at least one other potential. Some people hold this view, but I have actual photos of the two. And we're going to talk about crucifixion as a form of punishment. Show you, I minimize the photos. Okay, I minimize the photos. And chose instead to use paintings. But there's certain things I can't escape. And I think we as believers, there are a lot of folks who look at the crucifixion and try to punch holes in the four narratives that we should have the ability to have some degree of answer. The Bible calls us to give an answer for the faith that lieth within us. And hopefully today you will see things, see pictures, understand some things that perhaps you haven't seen before. We're going to go to the four narratives as well as Hebrews and as well as the book of Isaiah if we can get through it today, because all of them have something to say towards the crucifixion itself and the potential location of where to find Golgotha or Calvary. Okay? Let's open in a word of prayer. We'll do some review like we always do. And then what? But my students don't always answer the question. So if it's fresh, that's the only positive thing about Alzheimer's. It's the only one positive thing. You get to meet new people all the time. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, God, that you would bless it. Lord, as we study the crucifixion and some of the situations around it, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom of the Spirit to find the answer for ourselves. Lord, what happened on Calvary is far more important than the where or the how. We just pray that we may always keep that in view. We love you. We thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we've gone through the stations of the cross, all the way down to this one last week, number 10. Jesus is stripped of his clothes. Where did that happen? Students? Dun, 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 dun. This was supposed to be review. Okay, well, a matter of fact, 10 through 14, actually, on the Via Dolorosa, happens within the confines of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So you've walked all the way from Lion's Gate all the way to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 all happen within the confines of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. All right? Now, if you turn back the clock, this is the model. Many of you have been to, did you see it at the Jerusalem Hotel, or did you see it at the Jerusalem Museum? Okay. This model used to exist at the Jerusalem Hotel before it was moved. But this is the portrayal of this area that is outside of the second wall where the traditional location of Golgotha, the place of the skull. All right. When we look at Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And there also two other male malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Luke is the only one of the gospel authors that has this word, though it's the same word as Golgotha, translated as Calvary. Golgotha is Aramaic for the place of the skull. Calvary is the Latin word for cranius, where we get our word cranium, okay? The skull, okay? All right? So it means the same thing, and in fact, the base word. Why the King James translators chose to leave Calvary here, we'll be able to sit with them and talk with them here. Some of us are closer than others. Okay, all right. But why did you choose to leave this one here? I kind of like it. How many songs do we have that have the word Calvary in it? And I suspect, just me, that since that's the word, if you read the Latin Vulgate, that's the word that you'd find there. Okay, because it's the Latin word or the Roman word. So this large domed rock, okay, this is the challenge I have, though, some of the questions that people have towards the traditional location. How often do you take a large rock and plant three crosses on top of it? Somewhat challenging, okay? Now, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre originally was built in the 4th century by who? Constantine's mother. And her name was Helen. Remember, I showed you pictures last week of St. Peter's Basilica. All right? On the right hand as you walk in, here's the altar in St. Peter's. If you ever watch the Pope do Christmas, his Christmas thing, you can actually look. Here's Helen on this side, and who? Yeah. Veronica's on the other side, okay? All right, but this is the original building. It was destroyed by the Muslims and then rebuilt by the Crusaders into the building that currently, most of what it currently exists. Here's Calvary, and then the tomb is located in a cave network that's actually below the building. Remember, there's two domes on the current Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is over the tomb, and this is over Calvary. Tomb of Jesus here, and Golgotha, the place of the skull, is here. This is what it would have looked like when it was built originally in the 4th century. Remember, all of Jerusalem was leveled, completely leveled, and it was rebuilt later by Constantine and some others. That's what's so difficult of doing any excavations in Jerusalem, because you literally have to go through mountains and mountains and mountains of leftovers. And this is what the building looks like today. Large dome. What's under the large dome? The traditional tomb. Okay, and what's under the small dome? Exactly. All right, station 10 is where we get to. And Jesus had his clothes removed. It's basically just in the front door. This is, imagine we are walking forward. We would be walking into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre as we go off the screen here. And they don't have the shields like you see in the main part of town within the church itself, but this is the location where Jesus would have had his clothes removed. And what happened to his clothes? Actually, they cast lots, okay? In effect, what was a Roman soldier would have his gladius, he would have his belt, he would have his shield, he would have his sandals, he would have his helmet, but he would also have his dice. Soldiers are like police officers. Their life is very, very boring except for, Okay? And what do you do when you're bored? I'm mad. You play guy things. You actually, they, all over the Roman Empire, you can see in streets and sidewalks and even in buildings where people have carved games into the marble or the rock, and they would sit there and literally gamble. And these are actual Roman dice. They're virtually identical to the ones you'll play Yahtzee with. They are configured the same. 6 on one side, 1 on the other equals 7. And if you take the opposite sides of any dice, they always equal 7. Okay? I also showed you some pictures of multiple-sided dice. What were those used for? At least the examples that we have. Multiple-sided dice. More than the square ones. They were actually used to determine the will of God. Various gods. Various gods. Isis and others. And they even had a Yahtzee bucket sometimes. By the way, most people don't realize that a Roman soldier also carried a basket. Why would he carry a basket? Carrying dirt. Why would he carry dirt? A matter of fact, when they weren't doing soldier stuff, the Romans found other uses for the guys. They helped build most of the big road systems. Okay. Stations of the cross. We've gone down here. Jesus is stripped of his clothes. Jesus is nailed to the cross, number 11. Station 11 is one of the originals. And what's that? That's not the real thing, because in the Jerusalem Museum, Jewish people don't like human body parts laying around. They tend to offend people. Here in America, even in our high schools, we have a full set of real bones hanging, okay, for biology class. Real bones. You wouldn't do that in Israel. Okay, what's that? That is the only true archaeological evidence in existence for crucifixion. The only piece. The only example. Now we have, all the way back to the time of the Assyrians, we have the Assyrian marbles that are in the British Museum of their siege of Lachish and what they did to people. And it shows them they used a single stake to crucify people. We have pictures, but this is the only archaeological evidence that had ever existed. So when somebody says they know everything about crucifixion, the Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus was crucified on a torture stake, a single stake. Okay, but what other ways are there? Do you know? Well, it just so happens there was no Roman manual on how to crucify people. So it literally was as different as the people doing it. It's not one of those techniques and tools that people documented extensively. Yes? The what? Couple reasons. This is the actual artifact. It has pieces of wood on this side and pieces of wood where they pried it out of a chunk of wood on that side. Okay? This is how it would have been done, is the way the experts would say. Okay? That it was driven through the side of the foot. But remember what I said. You can't use this as the only example. Now, how many of you have ever heard of a person called Spartacus? Who, okay, brother, who was Spartacus? All right, about 71 BC, about 100 years before Jesus' crucifixion. Now, if you were a Roman, what would you think of somebody leaving a slave revolt? in the city of Rome, what was the citizen to slave ratio? About 5 slaves to every citizen. Okay? If a slave ever killed their master, the Romans would literally take every slave in that house and kill them all. Because if they didn't know, they should have known. And the whole, why would they do that? They want everybody, every slave, everywhere in the city. Oh my goodness, did you hear what happened to the Linus's, Antonius's whole household was done in? Because they killed him. It just so happened Spartacus was a gladiator. He was a myrmelon. There were about 7 different types of gladiators. This is the clothing he would have worn. And in fact, this is actually one of 2 myrmelon Roman gladiator helmets in existence. He was trained. He was a Greek that was captured as a slave and trained as a gladiator. It just so happens that he led a slave revolt that literally, south of Capua, he literally led a slave revolt that took him the full length of the boot. Their first attempt was to leave through the north. Okay? It didn't quite work out that way. The legions from Spain, which there was another kind of civil war, actually came over the Alps and came from the north, so that's where he led south, down here to the Naples Bay, and they actually had a encampment on the sides of Vesuvius. They eventually paid the pirates, Mediterranean pirates, to take about, there was over 70,000 of them, but they only could pay for about 2,000 to leave by the pirates down here at Rigium. So they led his troops, his people, down to Rigium. And what's wrong with Rigium if you're a soldier? What do you never want to do? Put your back to the sea with no way of escape. The pirates literally were paid off by Crassus, who was the person in charge of the legions trying to capture him. Have you ever heard the phrase, boy, you're just crass? What does it mean to be crass? Wealthy, rude, conceited. This guy was everything. He was the epitome of this kind of person. He even treated his legions bad. And when he eventually, Spartacus realized that the pirates aren't going to take us, so we have to fight the legions, they had land at Patella, and he turned and attacked them. All 70,000, except for 6,000, were killed in the battle. The 6,000 were left. Crassus, remember, this person's name is what it is. What do you think he did with those 6,000 people? We're talking about crucifixion here, people. Oh, no. He wants every slave in all of Italy to understand, don't ever do this again. From the city of Capua all the way to the city of Rome on the Appian Way, it's 117 miles, he crucified all 6,000 of them. That's 51 per mile. 51. Okay? The Roman Empire lived and breathed on its slave labor. Okay? This is a part of the Appian Way you can go and walk today. You can go walk this road. In fact, the freeway from Naples up to Capua, up to the city of Rome, almost follows this. It's a little farther inland, but kind of follows the same track. This is from the movie, this is a screenshot from the movie Spartacus. But they're too close. There's only 51 per mile. They would be farther apart. But 6,000 people crucified. All right? A lot of times you see this as the T cross, and then they're nailed okay? But there, we do know in Roman texts that there were about five different ways to crucify people. The crucis simplex, which was a single upright stake, and the people would literally be nailed to it. The crucis commissa, the capital T-shaped cross, okay? The Drusaca, which was the X-shaped cross, which is like St. Andrew, okay, was crucified on. It's X-shaped. The crucis immisa, which is the Latin cross that we all know as the subcap, the T-shape, and then the upside-down cross or any old way you wanted to cross. They would even do it to living trees. It didn't have to be a cut-down piece of wood. And they would put you in contorted ways to make you suffer and to make everyone else realize this is not the way you want your life to end. Which means you do what? You obey the Romans. You say, yes, sir. And don't ever think about saying no, sir, okay? Now, this is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and this is we're walking in the front door, okay? Off to the right is where Calvary is. This part is owned by the Greek Orthodox Church, right here, in here. And you walk in, and you see this little chapel that's built over the stone that is called Golgotha, okay? And you walk up the stairs, up these stairs, and you go up here, and you'll see this, these glass windows overlooking the stone. Why do you think they put glass over the stone? No, they actually have a place where you can go and touch it. Only a little place. Did you go and touch it? Down below? Okay, I'll show the picture in just a minute. Did they have a place so you could touch it down below?
This part, I don't remember.
Okay, I'll show you the pictures and maybe that might bring it back. But people were literally taking chunks out of, breaking their keys. People are really rather crude folks, okay? We would call it a relic. And there's the pictures. And if you go in down below, like Ed was talking about, you can see this. Is this what you saw? And, oh, okay. Okay. I guess. Okay. Well, this is what down below where you can see the bottom part of the. If the tradition is true, this is where Jesus was crucified. Okay? If the tradition is true. And then there's a chapel there, and this is where Jesus was crucified. And notice the picture. Where in the picture, where do they put the nails? In his hands. Now, remember what I talked about before. Going into the late 1700s, early 1800s, people started to question the location of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and the traditions around it. Okay? Let's go to the scriptures and read what God has recorded for us to understand a couple things. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, verse 33. Matthew 27, 33. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, what? Place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled that it was spoken of by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. That comes out of Psalms. Let's read in Mark, Mark chapter 15, verse 22. Mark 15, 22. And they bring him into the place, Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, that he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, that every man should, what? Take. All right? Then we get to Luke. Luke chapter 23. And we'll start with verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. John gives us some additional information, which is rather important. Let's go to John chapter 19, verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto the place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And then I'd like you to turn back to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 13, it's the last chapter in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So the people who get so worried about dietary issues, it's not really profitable for you. Verse 10. We have an altar thereof, they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the what? Camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no what? Continuing city, but we seek one to come. Most, what I would say, fundamental Bible scholars believe that the book of Hebrews had to be written before the fall of Jerusalem, probably around AD 64 or AD 65. The King James, the original King James Version, actually calls the book of Hebrews, the one that's actually written, this real 1611, calls it the Gospel of, basically, the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. The authors, that is who they tumble to. But there are many other people that it could have potentially been. Apollos, Timothy, could have been many others. Okay? We don't know because the book doesn't give us a clear answer. But you might say it is the best example of Hebrew prose, Hebrew writing in the Greek language that exists. The person that wrote it had to be phenomenally educated. Paul would fit that, but so would Apollos. But the examples, the tabernacle had, the temple still had to exist at the time. This was written primarily to the Jews. And what does it say? Excuse me. Let's get back. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Notice here, these are the current walls of the old city. Are the current walls of the old city the walls that used to be around Jerusalem? Vast majority are simply not. All right? This is a picture or a drawing of the walls that used to be around Jerusalem in accordance with Josephus and through historical evidence. Okay, we have Josephus's third wall. This is the one that was added in AD 41, about 11 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. This is Josephus's north wall, okay, or the second wall, and this is the first wall. Why is that important? Or might be important. What did the author of Hebrews say? Jesus suffered outside of the what? The gate. And it was in comparison to where the offerings were burned outside the city. Okay? All right? Now, this part, that is that second wall. All right? This part is where? Where is it located in relation to here? Right here, in the middle of town. Even though the wall wasn't around it, it was in the middle of town. Does that fit the Hebrews' definition? Some people say yes. I lean towards no. Outside the wall, it's outside the second wall. It's certainly not outside the third wall, which was built after. Okay, there's some question there. So people started looking. When you go to Jerusalem today, you go to the place of the skull, and it's a totally, normally for evangelicals, fundamental people, they won't take you to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre normally. They will take you someplace else. And have you ever heard of a place called Gordon's Calvary? Gordon was a general, a British general, okay, and he was stationed in the city of Jerusalem, and he spent a significant amount of time in the 1878 to 1886 or so studying the problems with the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and where could the real Calvary be, the place of the skull. This is actually a photograph of his journal, and he believes this here is the real Calvary. There's Temple Mount. This is where the Antonia Fortress would be. Here's the Damascus Gate. All right. And here in this escarpment is Gordon's Calvary, and there's the Garden Tomb. Now, many of you actually went to the Garden Tomb, right? All right. This is a modern picture. There's the Temple Mount. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is located just off the screen over here. But Gordon's Calvary is, again, this escarpment. Here's a cemetery on top of the ridge. And the Garden Tomb is located down over here. This is a photograph from the late 1800s. All right. This down here is considered Jeremiah's grotto. That's where the Book of Lamentations was written as Jerusalem was destroyed. Right here, with the two eyes and the nose, is the place of the skull. All right. And this is where Gordon believed, up here on this hill, is where the crosses were located. There's a couple, besides the place of the skull, it was next to the road heading towards Damascus, probably the road with the most traffic on it coming into Jerusalem. And you can see the cemetery up above, and there's the nose and the two eyes on this hillside. Here you can see the picture. This picture was taken in 2008. If you go to Jerusalem today in 2015, this stone fell away, and the bridge and the nose broke away. So you can't see it. I mean, you look at it, and that just looks like a hole in the wall. I'm sorry, but if you go there today, Rick lied to me. No, Rick didn't lie to you, okay, but that fell down. What do you think all this traffic does? What do you think all the construction for the monuments and the graves up above? And just simple erosion, okay? This is all fallen away. But what does that look like to you? The place of the skull, all right? Now, there isn't a whole lot of documented evidence that this hillside was called the place of the skull before, okay? But that is the other potential location with high confidence. Either you choose the traditional place or this place as the place of Golgotha, the place of Calvary. There is one other. There are some folks that literally believe that Calvary, Golgotha, was actually on the Mount of Olives. Okay? It's a very minor position. Because on the cross, Jesus could have looked across, if it was up high enough, he could look over the wall into the temple and actually see the veil being torn. That's the position there. There's some artwork. I didn't bring any. But there's some artwork with that position. But those are the three potential positions for where Calvary is located. The challenge we have is that God only gives us a little bit of vision into the things. The rest we have to construct somewhat. But obviously there's enough soil to dig and put graves up there. That would be a simple location to put the crosses up. You normally don't put crosses up on a rock. It just doesn't really quite work that way. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. What's wrong with this picture? Or is it wrong? This whole modern view of where the nails were positioned. Let's go back to, we're going to jump ahead a little bit in Luke. To chapter 24, verse 36. And this is where Jesus appears to the disciples. Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a what? And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my what? And what? He showed them his hands and his feet. The word for wrist in Greek is different than the word for hands. The whole reason people started going to this view is because in the 1950s and 60s there were tests done on cadavers. And they would nail a cadaver up and support the body's body weight from the nails, and they tear out. Well, obviously that disproves the Bible. Jesus couldn't have been crucified like this. Well, how many different ways are there to crucify a person? You now know more than about 99% of everybody else, okay? All right? Also, why do we study the original language? Why do we do that? Why do we want to know what the original language says? Absolutely. The King James translators themselves, if you came to them, looked eye to eye to them and says, Are you infallible? And they would have boldly said, Yes. But they did the best they could. Well, let's look at the word hand. Where does it come from? Chir, sense of the base of 5490, the idea of hollowness for grasping. Hollowness for what? Grasping. Is this hollow? No. And it just so happens, this is a version of this word, chasma. It's the same word we get our word chasm from. The pit. The pit of the hand. Okay? Rick's opinion, from the language, Jesus had nails in his hands. Just because you show that he can't be supported, his weight from that, doesn't really close the loop on this whole thing. Notice even Tausert has some varying ways he portrays. They would tie people and not just nail them. They also provided other things, notches. Notice these different notches. Those were for them to walk up them, as well as, how often do you think these things were used? Oh, we're going to give you a new rope when we hang you. We're going to give you a new cross when we hang. No, they were used over and over and over again. All right? Here's Jesus tied. But notice how these gentlemen are tied up here. This is a picture with them breaking the legs of these guys so they would die faster so they wouldn't be there over the Sabbath. But there's various portrayals. And notice this step. We do know, when we have literary evidence, that they would provide a step for the person and nail through their feet so they could push themselves up to breathe. Remember, they wanted these people to live as long as possible because their testimony would be even longer. It sounds horrible, but that's really what their goals were. And then Jesus, they stabbed, and we'll talk about that spear, the spear of destiny, next week. But that's out of the book of Isaiah. Let's go back there and Isaiah chapter 53. Sometimes some Bible writers call it the Gospel of Isaiah. Okay? Verse 12, chapter 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and did what? What is Jesus doing today for us? He stands between us and judgment. He makes continuous intercession for us. The cross, to God, tomorrow and yesterday, in both directions, is now. Now. God doesn't live within time like us. The cross is now. Grace is now. The love, the Spirit that drew us to Him is now. Don't ever believe the lie we give ourselves and Satan wants to give us. That, well, you know, you've sinned once too much, everybody. Game over. The cross is now. What? How much love would it take to go to the cross? By the way, this is the Isaiah scroll that was written before Jesus was born, prophesying his death. This is the great Isaiah scroll from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that is that section that we just read marked out. When people say you don't have the Bible in front of you or God's Word in front of you, just kind of, well, let me tell you a few things. Most people, they already make up their mind and never look any further. God never minds the heart that really wants to know. What does the Bible say? Come, let us, what? Reason together, saith the Lord. Come talk with me. I think you'll see it my way. When God talks to you about something in your life, let us reason together. Last night, the boys were over at my house. And the boys, my grandsons, every once in a while, get at each other. And one was hurt, and one was kind of prideful in what he did. And I had an opportunity to do one of two things. Rawr! Or do what? Come, let us reason together. I believe that had much more impact than barking and yelling. I love my grandsons dearly. I want to see them to become the men that God wants them to be. But my love for them pales into the significance of how much God loves each one of us. Pales. The things I love most in life, nothing compared to how much love God has for all of us. Live in that love. Realize our God changed all of time, arranged everything to place Jesus on the cross. Just for us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance, God, to just take a look at the process of crucifixion. Lord, it hurts. It's not pretty. But neither was our sin. Thank you for the grace that was purchased that day. We lift you up with thanksgiving. May we walk always in the light of the cross, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, by the way, how many of you have ever used the word excruciating? Where do you think the word